Blog Talk Radio.
Please
your listening audience. It's all about you as my listening audience trying to be happy on this Saturday morning. So, if you're an NFL fan, who are you with? That's we have a bunch of poll questions. Okay. Because we have so much going on. You know, got college basketball, you know, all the stuff in the NBA, baseball company. But our first poll question is, whose side now, now that you've seen the owner's offer, proposal, whose side now are you on? The owner's? Well, me, I'm on the owner's side right now. I am. I've switched. This thing gets switched just that quick. Amazing how things can change in a day. So now there are the mediation, you know, the parents will follow through with the certification, and there we go. You know, it'll be in the hands of the court, of the courtrooms. And what it came down to was the fact that the owners would not divulge all of their financial information, which I can't believe. You can put some of this stuff out there, but you can't put all your. So when somebody came to you, asking you for all your tax documents and 401ks, I mean, would you, unless you're in divorce court, you look at them like, come on, let's be real. We're not giving you everything. We give you a couple, financial records, a couple, you gotta give you a couple of. Slips, paychecks, slips. I'm not giving you everything. Auto records, everything? No, it's not. It's not going to happen. Sorry, not going to happen. So, then again, back to square one. And to me, this is a setback because I feel like a fair offer was put on the table by the owners and the players just, you know, blown it off. So, we're back to square one and we'll see how this thing progresses. My thoughts is it will go well into the summertime, and who knows, we could have an 8-game regular season. Wait, I can't see the owners improving their offer. Put it to you that way. I don't see that. So to me, it's all in the hands of the players in terms of what they want to do, what they're trying, in terms of what they do, and you know, the ball's in their court. 347-215-6180 is call number. 347-615-6180 is call number. Just getting started here on this 12th of March, 2011. Good morning, wake up call. Still to come. We have Saturday morning headlines, and we will see. We will take a look at some of these bubble teams as it was a busy day and night of college basketball, one of the best weekends in all of college basketball. Some of the football teams, there's some of these football teams. Is your team in or is it out? Is your team over 2 seed? We'll talk about that coming up on Saturday morning when we get a call. After the 9 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Call, I'm your host, Surreal Quinn. As we discuss the world of Saturday morning headlines, 4 Auburn football players have charged with armed robbery. They've been, of course, they've been dismissed from the team. These players include Antonio Goodwin, Kowalski Kitchens, Michael A. McNeil, and Harrison Deasley. You know, Auburn won the national championship this year, but off the field, you know, to say they struggled would be an understatement. These guys, I don't know how big a star, I don't think these guys are big time players, but they're on the team. And you know, you've been charged with armed robbery, and gun was recovered. They apprehended. And then luckily nobody was injured. But Gene Kilczak, I mean, again, he won a national championship, so that might, you know, that might take heat off, literally the heat off. But you got to hope, that the NCAA doesn't come down on Cam Newton anytime soon, and he keeps that championship. Was, you know, it can be real fast as far as, you know, how that program is being ran. I mean, once it's an accident, two is trend, and you see what happened with Cam Newton, now you see with these players. And, it's trend. In terms of Auburn football, it's not only Auburn, you know, as we will discuss with the program, a few college programs that have some issues, but certainly later on in the program. USC basketball coach Kevin O'Neill has indicated that the tournament, which, I mean, that's what happened out of the USC, got put out last night by Arizona, which that game he got into a verbal fight with an Arizona booster in a hotel lobby. Now, remember this about the O'Neal situation. He used to come on, and he was an intro coach for one Lou Olsen when Lou Olsen went out to the leaders. He was supposed to be the next man in the successor, but decided, you know, they had a falling out. Olsen decided to retain him and to, you know, keep him as head coach. Then Olsen retired permanently in 2008. And you had, of course, Sean Miller take over, who's currently coaching now. So some bad blood there. It's not, you know, they're not trading Christmas cards anytime. If you can't, I don't know why you're arguing with Booster. I would get that whole aspect. And the second part of it is, I don't know why you're involved in it. And apparently his wife got into it with the Booster. I mean, you know, honey, go for it. Go to the room, you know, and go on your way. So I'm kind of confused by that. And regardless, what's expensive for the back to the time USC lost last night, and they will definitely be one of those teams who will be sweating bullets tomorrow evening as during selection on Sunday. They are firmly, squarely on the bubble. Probably, I don't think they're in myself. I don't think USC is in, but we'll see. We will see you with that. We'll see what happens with that. And of course, last night you had UConn defeating Syracuse in overtime. And once again, these teams, they cannot stay out of overtime. 76-1. Kemba Walker, another big game out of him. He continues to just amaze. So UConn advances to the Big East Championship tonight to play Louisville. These two teams have played twice this year, has won both games, one in double overtime. You know, when the last one was in overtime, though. This will be Connecticut's fifth game in 5 days. So watch their legs tonight. There could be some fatigue issues there. And Jameer scored 52 points as BYU defeated Mexico for them, it's probably going to be the player of the year. He's probably going to be the player of the year more than likely. That's like especially for him. It's the most annoying engine anyway. So Levi advances and he still has an outside chance of a number one seed. Still an outside chance of that. So then you go with your Saturday morning headlines. When we return, we'll come back with quotes of the week. When we return on this the Saturday morning wake up call, we'll be right back. After the knock on this latest edition of the Saturday morning wake up call, we also have a friend. Call number 347-215-6180. Selection Sunday weekend. Excuse me. And the selection show will be tomorrow on CBS. On CBS, I would say about 7 or 6 p.m. So I said, the right time, 6 p.m. You'll know the 68 teams getting into the NCAA tournament. But you have a lot of still sell out to be as far as, seeding below the one line. I think the one line, 3 of the 4 are set. Notre Dame losing to that, who's a play the last spot for, Dukes, either Duke or North Carolina or BYU possibly. To get a number one seed. So still, I don't think there's going to be a lot of drama this year in terms of who gets in, who gets but I think field basically is set in terms of who's already in. I don't think that the bubble was soft this year in terms of the bubble season, who was on the bubble. So the majority of the field should be set. Now it's probably seeding and placement that the committee is doing now. Here we go with React Quotes of the Week. Who said that? I'm not soft. Not me. I don't know where that comes from, but we ain't soft. That is 1-6 man and 2 guard Jason Terry of the Mavericks, the surging Dallas Mavericks, who have won out of their last 24 games, or either 20 out of the last 23 games. Either way, following that quote, that was Rick Carlisle, the Mavericks, after a bad loss to the New Orleans Hornets. That's why he was upset. The game was on the road, and Chris Paul didn't play, and they still found a way. They only won point. And, listen, Carlisle, does he have the pedigree to make that kind of statement? No. Doesn't have any rings. But doesn't have any rings. No, he doesn't have any rings, but I can't knock him because, listen, the Mavericks, for years, have always been one of the talented teams in the NBA. They've been 55-60 wins. They've been this, they've been that. They have not had that kind of that toughness that it takes for a championship. And Carlisle, realizing that he might have a team that has the potential to win the championship, which he does, and he's not going to let these guys slip. And more importantly, he wants that number two seed. So, if there is an inevitable series between them and the Lakers in the second round, then, he wants to give himself a punch in a game seven at home. Game in L.A., they don't have a chance in the seven in L.A. at the Staples Center. But in Dallas, they would have a punch of shots, so like the Lakers particular game. So, Carlisle's calling out his players and saying, hey, you can't have these kinds, this late in the season without the other team's star player. Had no problem with it. They responded by it, by crushing the Knicks on 18 points. So I have no problem with it. And, Jason Terry came out in and apparently it worked because they had their way with the New York Knicks the following night. If you don't see something special in D. Rose, then you're blind. We have an outstanding coach, an outstanding bunch. The team is deep, and if we stay healthy, we have an awfully good chance of winning at least championships. That is owner Chicago Bulls with owner Jerry Reinsdorf. He's talking about his team. And, listen, Jerry, that you are excited. You have a young team. You have a great younger player, but arguably one there. Arguably the best young player in the league, certainly the best point guard, and certainly without question the MVP in the league. But calm down here. I'm amazed by these players and owners who won, soccer football championships when they haven't won one yet. Now, Jerry has six as an owner, but with this particular group, they have won one championship. Get the one, and then when you win the first one, then we can start talking multiple championships. But the beginning. The beginning is getting to that first one. Just get one first. You see the Miami Heat, with LeBron James now 5, 6, 7. He owns near any rings. At least Jerry Rosso has one championship as an owner. Eyes off needs to calm down. Don't put a bullseye on your team. Let them go under the radar because they got their goals. But, just do what you do. And let your team continue to play well. They are a legit contender, and don't put any pressure to them. We wish Tiki nothing but the best, and when we are able to make the transaction, we will release him from our reserve retired list. New York Giants team spokesman on Tiki Barber, who is trying to make a comeback. At the age of 35, he'll be 36 when the season starts. Tiki, who's been retired. Tiki, who has been retired since 2006. Still thinks he has some gas left in the tank. Still says he feels strong. Listen, you are not going to ever convince me. And I've watched enough football in my life that a 35, 36-year-old running back can be out of the game for 4 years and come back and be effective. I'm sorry. I wouldn't. If I'm a team, I wouldn't waste my time with a tryout. I wouldn't waste my time. I wouldn't waste a training camp OTA jersey on Tiki Barber. He's coming back because he's in the midst of a divorce. His chief got caught cheating on his wife. He's taking him to the cleaners, and he needs money. He doesn't have a broadcast job right now. Quiet is kept. And he needs money. And it's just that simple. So it's not love of the game. I need money now. Why else do that to yourself? Running back? Quarterback is running. I was thinking about this. The other day when I was going over this story, Vinny Testaverde used to come back all the time at age, 38, 39, 40, 41. But they used to have to drag him off the couch. He used to call, hey, Vinny, you want to throw the ball? Vinny, come on, we need you. Vinny, couple games. Make $500,000. Come on, Vinny. Okay, guys. I guess. And 50 Cent's verse wasn't doing it voluntarily. They begged him. You said teams used to beg him to come back to play for a couple of games if they lost on the two quarterbacks. You know, if both quarterbacks would get hurt, starter and the backup. Nobody is calling or begging Tiki Palmer to come back by any stretch of imagination. You are a 35-year-old running back. I mean, I know somewhere some you have some general managers are just laughing at this. So I don't expect anything. Again, he will not make a team. If he makes a team, I don't know what the football world is coming to, frankly. But I doubt that will happen. I saw it on YouTube. There was a mistake. Rutgers head coach Mike Rice, regarding, of course, the missed calls, not call, but calls by one Jim Bird, Tim Higgins, and Carl Walton a couple of days ago in the Big East quarterfinals, where St. John's lost to, where St. John's defeated Rutgers. And I've seen a lot of calls missed in the time of our sports, in all different kinds of sports. But I've never seen a call as brutally and blatantly missed than what you saw in that Rutgers St. John's game. Guy steps out of bounds. He travels, number one. Two, he steps out of bounds. Three, they allow the clock to run out. Okay. And then fourth, he shot puts the ball about 20 rows into the New York, into upstate New York, which should have been a technical foul. How they missed all those calls is, I've watched that play a million times and just wonder and still not understand how all those calls were missed. Okay, you missed the travel. All right, that neither moment, travels are missed all the time in the NBA. All right, fine. A clock situation, no excuse. You go back, check the monitor to see how much time is left. The ball in the crowd, going into the crowd, no excuse. It's right there in front of you. I mean, the officials basically said, you know what, it's time to go home. We're out. We're going. But he stepped out of bounds. All right, the game over. Now, it's not guaranteeing Rutgers would have won the game. They still would have had the score being down by, they were down by two. But the regards is they deserved the ball back with 1.7 seconds. Really, they should have been at the free throw line. Okay, shooting a technical foul, because I don't know how that's not a technical foul. I don't understand that. But again, call was missed. And that, again, those guys should not ref. Officiate for the entire NCAA tournament, as far as I'm concerned. And then you turn around and hear that Carl Walton is officiating a Big Ten game, a Big Ten quarterfinal yesterday. What is that? A day after he had one of the worst missed calls in the history of college basketball, basically, he's rushing the next day. On the day after that, 2 days later, are you kidding me? So we'll see, how this plays out. Higgins and Bird have been around forever. How they missed this call is, I mean, these are not rookies. I mean, these guys are veteran officials. They've done championships. They've done Final Four. So, I know them by name, basically. Jim Higgins and Jim Bird. I mean, they are very well-known officials in the game of college basketball. 347-215-6180. 347-215-6180. When we return, we will look at the college basketball bubble. Is your team in or is your team out? We also still have NBA roundup and a preview of the AL Central, the AL Central division. That's all. That's still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. 31 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour, halfway through the program on this 12th of March, 2011. 347-215 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number as we discuss the world of sports. Okay, here we go with the bubble teams. I'm going to give you a team. I'm going to say where I think they're in, they're out, or still need to do work. Richmond in. They won last night. They will play. They're 25-7. They will play Temple this afternoon. My beloved Temple Owls, and they will lose to Temple because Temple is going to win the Atlantic 10 tournament and get the automatic bid. They will play Temple in the semifinal of the Atlantic 10 tournament, but they're in. I think they will be that third team in. They will be that third team in the coming out the Atlantic 10, possibly even fourth, depending on what happens. What happens tomorrow? Georgia out. I think Georgia's out. That was a loss to Alabama. They lost to Alabama last night. Second time they lost to Alabama in basically in a week. The SEC is just not that good this year. And if you're a team in the SEC, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. I mean, that's all it is to it. You're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. 9-7 in the SEC is like being below 500 in another conference. It's just, I mean, the SEC is just weak this year, so I think Georgia, in my book, is out. I thought they had to win last night, and possibly even may have had to win a game, the SEC semifinal today. Michigan State is in. A lot of people thought they were going to be in regardless of whether or not they won yesterday, but I thought yesterday just absolutely put the icing on the cake. They're in. They will They'll stay in. Now it's a matter of will they be, off that, first. Will they be off that first four, and be just one of the first 64, not to play on what themselves into the tournament by having to play a game on Tuesday or Wednesday. Marquette is in. They had a good win. Versus West Virginia, they didn't really got crushed by Notre Dame, but Marquette will be one of the 11 teams coming out of the Big East, Gonzaga is going to be in. Gonzaga is, I believe, still alive in terms of winning that conference tournament, but. I think Gonzaga is going to be in. They might have lost. But I think Gonzaga is in. Myself, they have NCAA pedigree. They're respected by the committee. They normally make a good run, so they will get an at-large bid. I'd be surprised if they did not get an at-large bid. Based on their history of performing and playing well in the NCAA tournament, of course, Boston College is out as far as I'm concerned. That was they needed to win. I thought Boston College needed to at worst get to the ACC semifinals. They were not able to do that. To me, they need to win at least two, maybe three games in the ACC. I think they're out. I think they're out. So, but they will be certainly spread out for tomorrow evening for this election show. Michigan still alive. Michigan will play against Michigan State today. If I had to lean one way or the other, I probably would put them in, but we'll see. But we'll see in regards to where they fall, to where they will fall tomorrow, come tomorrow. Memphis, very interesting team. I think Memphis needs to win the tournament. I think Memphis right now is out. I think Memphis is out. I think Memphis really needs to win their conference tournament. The conference is not, you know, they don't have that gaudy record that they traditionally have because the team is not that good. They're 24-9, 10-6 in the conference. They need to win their conference tournament. I don't think they get at large unless they win their conference tournament. Clemson, still alive. I think Clemson is in myself. I think Clemson right now will be that. I think Clemson and Virginia Tech, who by a miracle is still in the tournament. I mean, you talk about being lucky and having not. You talk about being lucky and almost out of the NIT. Virginia Tech won a buzzer beater versus Florida State last night. Virginia Tech will play Duke. If they beat Duke, it'll be very interesting. Let me give you a scenario. If Clemson beats Duke and Virginia Tech beats North Carolina, or if Clemson beats North Carolina, Virginia Tech beats Duke, I wonder what would happen then in regards to one of those teams. I would guess they probably would have to take 5 in ACC. Again, I don't see that, either one of that scenario happening. But right now, if you were asking me to get an edge, I would give the edge to, for that 14 coming out of the ACC, I would give it to Clemson. I would give a slight edge to Clemson, but Virginia Tech, with a win, I think regardless of what Clemson does, I think Virginia Tech is in if they beat Duke a second time. So if Virginia Tech wins tonight, today they're in, regardless of what Clemson does, unless Clemson just goes on and wins the rest of the tournament. So there you go with some of these bubble teams. Colorado's in. I think USC is out. Remember, when you're watching the Atlantic 10 semifinal, you have St. Joe's and Dayton. Those are two teams that normally would not be in. If either one of those teams wins the Atlantic 10 tournament, that's going to eliminate a bubble spot. That's going to eliminate a team that normally would have got in. So, yeah, if you're a team that's on the bubble, you are rooting for either Richmond or Temple to win the Atlantic 10 tournament. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we will preview. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Earlier this week, you had another highly prominent coach, get caught with his hand in the cookie jar. Jim Tressel goes out there and admits to knowing about his players, what his players, you know, selling their own merchandise and receiving free fat tattoos, admits to knowing about it 8 months before it actually came out. Because back in December of last year, it came out that the players had been given free tattoos, had been selling merchandise to a dude who was running a tattoo parlor who just happened to be under an investigation for drug trafficking. And, you know, Tressel goes out there in December and gives this basically holier than thou, you know, spiel and talking about the player and he basically extorted his players. You know, either you come back next year or you don't play in the Sugar Bowl this year and this is not what Ohio State stands for and so on and so on. Turns out that, you know, during that time that he knew that he had received an email knowing what the situation was. Now he comes out this week and says, didn't know what to do, I was scared, feared the player for the player's safety. This guy who has been involved with the NCAA in the form of either being a head coach for 25 years, since 15 years at Youngstown State, and like the last 10 at Ohio State. And now all of a sudden he doesn't know what to do when he receives some emails saying that his players are involved in some, and not only NCAA violations, but maybe involved in hourly involved in some criminal activity. Now they had nothing to do with the drug trafficking, but they're dealing with a guy who is being investigated for under a federal investigation for drug trafficking. Now, Jim, you have a athletic director, you have a president, you have compliance people on campus. Does he really expect us, anybody with any common sense, to believe that he didn't know what was going on? I mean, come on, give me a break here. So I'm going to wait to see what the NCAA does with this. For I'm concerned, he should be suspended half the Big Ten season in terms of the conference games. That's a much more fair suspension than these two exhibition games that he'll be missing against Toledo and Akron. This is a joke. The NCAA holds the players are literally held to a higher standard than these coaches. And we see with Jim Calhoun, see with Bruce Pearl, these coaches get slaps on the wrist. That's it. I mean, two games, $250,000, and he has to take go to a compliance seminar. Some nonsense. He had to publicly apologize. Oh, big deal. I mean, if you run a high power program, you're basically borderline untouchable. I mean, look at Pete Carroll and USC all those years. So, again, the NCAA still has an opportunity. The penalties that have been given to Trestle were self-imposed by school imposed by Ohio State. The NCAA still can add, to the penalty, and we'll see how they go about it, see what they do. Even minimum should get 5 games, just like his players. Minimum. Still to come, we had the NBA roundup. We have NBA roundup, and we'll also talk a bit about the F5. That's still to come. That's still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be right back. Five minutes after the 9 o'clock hour in this latest edition of Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, it's your host, Surreal Quinn, taking you to the top of the hour as we look at the world of sports. Of course, you have a ton of NCAA action today. Most of the games will be semifinal games or conference tournaments. So you have a couple of championships, I believe. That's the Big East championship will be tonight, with Louisville and Louisville and Connecticut. Connecticut could be playing for possibly, I think, a number 4 seed, maybe even number 3 seed. And Louisville could probably move up as high as, I would say, 3, maybe depending on how many other teams lose number 2. So we'll see what happens with that as they will go at it for the third time. At Madison Square Garden. As far as the NBA goes, Team of the Week, I would have to say it's perfect. I mean, the Sixers had a great win last night against the Boston Celtics. All of a sudden, they have slipped a bit with a couple of losses. Lost to the Clippers earlier this week at home. Sixers are 8-2 in their last 10 games. Doug Collins has done a phenomenal job turning around that team. Remember, earlier in the season, the Sixers were 3-13. Well, started out 0-4, and they at one point they were 3-13. Now, when you see a team that's 3-13, there's not too many times that they ever even sniff the 500 mark. Yeah, that just doesn't happen. Normally, 3-13 equals 30-52. But again, the Collins has done just a tremendous job. They are currently 34-31 and right on the heel of the New York Knicks for that sixth spot, for that sixth playoff spot, which means they would have, right now, would avoid the Chicago Bulls, but still have to avoid the Chicago Bulls and play the Miami Heat. So, you know, you can pick your poison with that. But again, this is about the Sixers doing it with a balanced attack. They don't have a star. They have, you know, four or five very good players on the team. And again, I still believe Brand and Iguodala have bad contracts, but Collins has certainly gotten the most out of the limited amount of talent that they do have. They have some decent players, but nothing spectacular. But are playing well regardless. As far as the Miami Heat goes, we our first segment of as the Heat turns, they finally get off the snide, beat the Lakers on Thursday. In doing so, they still find a way to annoy you as over the course of the game, and even after the game. So over the course of the game, you had LeBron posing after making a buzzer beater shot in the first quarter. Too bad he can't translate that to the fourth quarter. You know, you had Chris Bosh smacking his chest like it's the first time he's dunked before. Then after the game, it was just it made me sick having to watch the press conference, because you had Eric Spoelstra, you know, talking about the outside noise. You had LeBron James who did not crack a smile in the press conference. You thought that LeBron something was wrong. You thought that he lost the game. Could it be that, you know, he was upset that he wasn't the man on that night, and that Dwayne Wade was the closer and should be the closer from here on out? Maybe. You had Chris Bosh talking about man hugs. I mean, Mike to them is like crack. They can't handle it. They can't handle it. I mean, they can't say, good game, you know, we're trying to get better, let's keep it moving. No, they have to go into this, you know, this fake us against the world. They have to answer every single question, you know, to man. And it's like, you know, and they are the most insecure team ever. They're the most insecure team ever. That's all there is to it. They actually care about what you and I think about them. They really do. They care about what you and I think and say about them. So even in victory, they cannot handle. You know, they can't handle. They don't know how to conduct themselves. But regardless, they get off the snide. 5-game losing streak is over. They sweep the Lakers on the season. Lakers, I mean, you know, Lakers had opportunities to win that game. Kobe really struggled down the stretch, and he, I'm sure he was not happy with himself, because after the game, he's out there for 75 minutes shooting after a 2.5-hour battle. He's out there 75 minutes shooting in the opposing team's gym, which is unheard of, but, you know, it only exists in Kobe Bryant's world to do something like that. So there you go with that. But again, Miami, you know, getting back on track, so to speak. We'll see where it goes, see if that can correlate to a winning streak as we head down the stretch drive into the playoffs. When we return, we will have a Saturday morning wake-up call commentary. And we will Saturday morning wake-up call commentator, and we'll get back to the NFL. That's coming up in 30 on this latest edition of the Saturday morning wake-up call.
When you walk through the garden, gotta watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon, walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, he's gonna save your soul. Gotta keep a devil.
the 9 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Surreal Quinn. For my baseball fans, I'm just gonna apologize in advance. Will not be able to get to the AL Central preview. I'll push that back to next week, and we'll do two previews. So you'll get two for the price of one. You'll get the AL Central, and we'll include our baseball preview with the NL East as the Phillies look to get back into the World Series with that starting pitching. So we'll do that next. We'll do that next week. Also, coming up on Monday, the Surreal Quinn Review returns. We'll do an hour and a half where we'll break down the tournament, all the brackets. We'll go through every single bracket. We will, you know, pitch and moan about who should have been this seed, who should have made it, who shouldn't have made it, and we'll have some fun with that. We've got to give you my final four picks and my pick to cut down for the team who's going to, I think, will cut down the Nets in Houston. So we'll do that on Monday, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So just keep your eyes looking out for that. Again, Surreal Quinn Review will return. I know it's been a while, but I had to bring it back for this particular occasion. In just 2 years, Michigan's renowned Fab Five changed the face of college basketball by doing it their way. During their time at Michigan, they twice made it to the national championship game, coming up short both times to ACC powerhouse Duke and North Carolina. But despite this, their impact on the culture of college athletics is peerless. Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, Jawan Howard, Jimmy King, and Ray Jackson not only wore the extra long shorts, black shoes, and socks, they also wore their emotions on their sleeves. They defined who they were. So who were they? 5, 17-year-old kids having fun and doing it in a way that was perceived at times to be offensive and disrespectful to the game of college basketball. They went against the grain with their style of play, which had an up-tempo playground-type feel to it. Whether you loved or hated the Fab Five, you could not ignore the sheer magnitude of their presence on the court. They were the Beatles of college basketball, playing to sold-out arenas across the country. In 2002, Michigan was placed on probation due to a money laundering scandal. That resulted in Michigan basketball being stripped of all awards and accolades between 1991 and 1998. If you go to Chrysler Arena, there are no banners or retired numbers from any of the Fab Five, just the memories of what once was. ESPN is going to do a special on the Fab Five tomorrow, I believe at 9 p.m. Looking back, it's almost been 20 years now since they were, since they came on the college basketball scene back in 20 years come this October, November. Came on the scene in the fall of 1991. They went to the two national championship games. To this day, I still think the greatest recruiting class of all time, considering, five freshmen starting, considering, making it to the Final Four, making it to a national championship game back-to-back years. Again, the college basketball, before they got there, is different than college basketball when they left. And when you can say that about a team, that regardless of how many championships they win or if they don't win a championship at all, that's something to be said. They brought trends, they set trends. Were they trash talkers, arrogant? Yes, they were. But did they play well? Did they go to the back-to-back national championships? Yes, they did. And received far too much criticism for not winning a championship. I mean, it's very hard to win. This is not the NBA here, where you get best out of seven. This is one and done. And in back-to-back years, they were one of the final two teams playing. There's a lot to be said to that. And 91, they lose to Duke. 92, they lose to Duke, one of the great teams in the last 25 years. You're talking about Grant Hill, Bobby Hurley, Christian Laettner, okay? The following year, I thought they were more talented than North Carolina. But again, you look at that North Carolina team, was, 34-3? 34-3, and, was number one, between number one and number two all season long. So it's not like they're not chopped liver by any stretch of imagination. But that was a game. The North Carolina game was a game that they really could have won. I mean, you know what happened with the Chris Webber timeout situation and what and so forth. And again, they took a lot of heat. Took a lot of heat for not winning a championship. To me, it was just unfair. Again, five freshmen starting is unheard of to begin with. Five freshmen playing that well, certainly something that we will never, ever see again. I don't think it's something that we'll ever seen or done again. Remember, the last four, five, six national championship teams have all been veteran-laden teams. Yes, you've had some quality freshmen, but they've been led by two or three juniors and one or two seniors to provide that leadership and experience needed to win a national championship. So, what they did is something that I don't think will ever be done again. I'm glad ESPN is coming out with this special. Leave the Biggie and Shaquille and stuff alone. I wish I had time to get to that. I don't. But stick to what you do, and that's sports. So that is going to wrap up my program on this edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Again, NFL owners, NFL owners, I'm on the owner's side as far as the NFL goes. The players, I don't know what they're doing. I hope DeMarre Smith knows what he's doing for these players' sake. And for the game, not even for the game of football, more importantly, because I want to see football in September. I don't care about OTAs. I don't even care about training. I want to see football come September 13th, September 12th, whenever the season opens, September 9th, and that Thursday night where Green Bay will be hosting somebody. That is tradition to see the defending Super Bowl champion hosting the first opening game on a Thursday night. I want to see Green Bay Packers and somebody come Thursday night on the first, Thursday in September. But again, I hope DeMarre Smith knows what he's doing. That was, to me, a very good offer and made by the owners, a fair offer, and I don't believe that it will get any better from here on out looking down the road. Again, enjoy your week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I will see you Monday. So we won't have too much time apart. See you Monday on the Civil Quick Review. At 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll talk college basketball. So long, and enjoy your weekend.
Jesus.